I do feel very honored and blessed that you have invited me to come here and worship with you. Online is one thing, but in person is more powerful for me. I have a connection with you already, and I have not even sat down to meal with you. So what we're going to do is think today. We're going to use something called our brains. And in that, I'm just remembering that in my entanglements, when I was younger, I noticed it was important that you remember my name. But as I've gotten older, it's more important for me to even be able to remember. That's bottom line. And the reason I say that is because sometimes, you know, as we're aging, we are in denial. We don't even know that we're forgetting things and we're misplacing things, or you don't recognize things. Just last night in the hotel, I was asking my son about this outlet. I said, "What is it, honey? Is it for Android? Because we're Apple people. Is it for Android?" He says, "No, Mom, it's a regular outlet. Turn to the side." I'm like, "Oh, you're right, son." So things are happening as we age. So as a reference today for the message, remember God now, remember means to bring back to thought or back to mind emotions, expressions, and experiences that we've had in the past. Now, some of those experiences were joyous. Some of those experiences were disappointing. So remembering can be both bitter and sweet. But we're going to remember God anyhow. Right now, let us pray. Father, you are an awesome God. It's been stated a few times this morning. And we know that you're the God of our salvation. We know that you have remembered your children. This morning, speak to us and remind us of how awesome you are. May we worship you in spirit and in truth, and may we gladly and humbly walk in your ways. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember God when? Now. And how can we do that? We can do it because God has shown us that he remembers. He remembered Noah and everything and all the cattle that was on the ark. He remembered Abraham. He remembered Isaac, Jacob. He remembered Abraham. He remembered Samson. He remembered, I can go through this forever, because the Word of God continues to show us what God remembers. So all he's asking us to do is to remember him now. So let's look at our scripture reading for today. Rejoice is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 9 through 10. It says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." I'm going to do a vanity check right now. We can have simple masks, designer masks, masks with bling bling, and I've seen them all. So I understand that sometimes we are right where Solomon said we would be, in the midst of vanity, and it's a vexation of spirit. And God has only asked us to do a few things: do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with him. That's all he's asked us to do. But although remembering is a good thing, there are times that we need to forget some things. It's good not to remember, but it's always good to remember how God brought you through that. It's always good. And I'm just remembering one example. My mother, she went through Alzheimer's for 13 years. That was many years ago. A lot of healing since then. But I remember she was about the age of 44, and I noticed some things that were happening in her life that just didn't quite register. And I said to the other siblings, "I think there's something wrong with Mom. she's not quite herself. And herself, I could tell you, was not something that you want to remember. And I loved my mother eventually. And I'm being honest about that. I loved her eventually. And I look at her experience with Alzheimer's as an extended part of mercy from God. Because she forgot that she was a curser. She forgot that she was a carouser. She forgot that she drank and smoked like a chimney. She forgot that she was not nice to her children. She forgot all that. And I was sitting with her one time, and I could see her melting away into nothingness. But I was also pleasantly receiving her attention for the first time that I thought in my adult life. And I said, "Mom," she says, "what's your name?" I said, "I'm Shirley, your daughter." She was like, "I bet your mom is so proud of you." I said, "I know she is." And then I said, "Mom, do you know Jesus?" And she said, "Oh, yes, I know Jesus. I talk to him every day." And she melted away. And I never heard her speak my name or anything about God again. But I saw her skin revitalize. I saw her hair grow out with brightness and brilliancy, no matter how gray it was. I saw her eyes almost look like they could see again. So I thanked God for Alzheimer's. I know a lot of people can't do that because they love their parents and they don't want to see them suffer. But at this point in her life, my sisters were good and they took care of her very well while I lived down here in Florida. And I would go home twice a year, you know, help out a little bit. But I tell you, when I got the call that she had passed, my first words to God, "Thank you for your peacefulness and your mercy." And then I could skip on down, back up and take care of her in Alabama or take care of the arrangements for her burial. But only God can do that in a person's life. So there are times that we need to forget some things, but we need to always remember God because he brought us through those things. Today we're talking about Solomon, and he was the wisest and the richest man that ever lived, and not one since him, because God said so, and I believe it. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, this is where your message title comes from. And I know we thought it might be just for youth, but I'm feeling quite spry right now, because I'm on this side of the dirt. So if you can hear my voice, see my face, know the word of God, then he's speaking to you and to me. And he says, "Remember now your creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" And there are aging people all around us. And I've had the fortune to be with people until they've taken their last breath. It's a hard look, but it must be done. But in seeing them going through things, some of them 95, some of them 94, and they're saying, "When is God going to call me home?" They're ready to go. But you can't go until it's your time. So I just say, as long as we live, we need to enjoy this time that we have with God, because there might come a day that we're not going to have pleasure in just being alive. So let's praise God for everything. And when you're young, I know people think this is only for the young, but I'm telling you, as long as you can hear this message, this is for you and it is for me. When you're young and fresh, you have thoughts that are just out there, creative, bright ideas, creative juices. Curiosity is peaked to this highest. Ambition is strong. Hormones are raging, but we're going to skip that one and go on to the fact that we need to mature every day. And when we mature, we can make better choices, yes? So Solomon had to struggle with that. That's why he can tell us now about remembering our Creator now, because he turned away from God after knowing him and being blessed of him. But let's look at a few things. Since the Garden of Eden, we have been exposed to what is good and what is evil. And God told us that that was going to happen. If you eat of this tree, you're going to know both good and evil. Very simple. Now, I'm not mad at our forefathers and sisters. What we're looking at is the attitude that it has perpetuated to today's time, 2020. And I know some of you have heard this because you have adult children. And I have one here with me, but I'll talk about him in a minute. You have heard, I'm grown. I can choose to do whatever I want. And you are absolutely right. And I'm just going to flip that for us. And I like to hear it. I'm grown. It depends on the attitude. I said, okay, honey, and that's my son right there. You're grown. That's wonderful. Pay your own car payment. Pay for your own house. Pay for your own schooling. Pay for your own food. I'm glad you're grown, son. I want you to grow up, right, son? I want you to be grown. But then if the attitude is there, I'm grown and you can't tell me what to do, that is a demonic force. Because they're telling you that because they're going to run into the traps of the enemy. And those children are going to be overcome and not be able to find their way back to God. That is what is scary out there right now. We have children with that I'm grown attitude, but it's not from God. But if you take the I'm grown attitude because you've been matured by God and going through growth with God, then I'm good. Do whatever you choose. But I'm reminded that God has said in his word that here is life, here is death. Choose life. I'm reminded of that. And you know why? Because he wants us to be with him. And he is life. If we choose death, and death eternal, and separation from him, we will not be able to see him in the end. And I know that that's where we're going. And I'm grown, and I can do whatever I want. It's okay, but if I took that mentality, I'm grown, and I can do what I want, I could have worn a tube top and a mini skirt and some high-heeled boots with some rhinestones all over them. But I chose to praise God with my clothes this morning. I praise his name because I was able to make a mature choice. Now, I didn't want to come out of here looking like a hooker for you. I know it's hard language, but I love you. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. I can choose to do better. Yes or no? Yes. So truth has been offered to us on every hand. We cannot say today that I don't know God. I don't know who he is. I don't know how to live right. I don't know what doing good is. We can't say that today. Let me tell you why. We have YouTube. We have Google. GodTube. PureFlix. Live streaming out there. We have free Bible courses. We have people catering to the community. We have community centers. We have church buildings. We have people who love God and they're on different jobs. So we have no excuse for not knowing God. So we're going to remember God today. We're going to remember him. While we're on lockdown, we're going to Google God. Let's do it. We're going to get to it, Sharon. We're going to Google God today. The word of God is so powerful. And when I was growing up, help us God, help me Father. When I was growing up, the word of God became life to me. I didn't understand it, but I used to go to the sanctified church down the street. I used to go to anybody's church that opened a door as a little child. My mom didn't mind because I didn't have to be at home with her. My sisters didn't mind because they didn't have to look after me either. Just send me to church with somebody, anybody, and I would go. And I'd come home and I want to play with the children and they don't want to play with me. And my son said, it's because you want to play church, Mom. But I had to come to a place in my life where playing church was not cute. We must be real with God. And we must remember him as he is. Because there's going to come a day that we're going to have to give an account for every living minute of our lives. And we're looking at a chart now that says live life. Live life. And I want you to look at that chart. Because on that chart, this is what woke me, well, this is how he woke me up. And God is who I'm talking about, a he. Don't have a man. But God woke me up with this in my head. I said, okay, God, what do you want me to do with that? I sketched it out first, and then I put it on the computer so we can all look at it. And I was like, okay, now what do you want us to learn from that? Okay, we all get life. If we're able to be birthed, then we are born. He gave us the power of choice when we were born. He gave us life after we were born, or when we were born. Remember God now while you are alive. Then there comes a time that we're going to die. So it's real simple. Where are we on the scope? Where are we? Are we at the green dot? Am I still a baby? No. Am I at the gray dot? Am I dead under the ground? No. I'm still in my youth. I am still young, fresh and tender. Enough to talk about the fact that we need to remember God now. If we look around that chart, above birth, we're called to be. Everybody's called to be something. You're going to be a lawyer. You're going to be a doctor, a mother, a father. You're going to be a teacher or something. You're called to be. And you're existing at that babyhood, and somebody has to train you and teach you how to become whatever it is you're going to become in your maturity. And then you're called to come. Now, this come is come back to Christ, your creator. Come to him. Come to Jesus, as they used to say. Come to Jesus. And then it says call to serve, but we don't like to go there. We want to come straight from call to come to Jesus, or come to church, or come to God, and we want a call to receive. We want to go way on the other side. We want to skip all that hard stuff in the middle. Because service is hard. Repenting is hard, because that means you got to face the demons. You got to face the stuff that we've done. And called to return. We don't want to come back. Because we sometimes think you don't love us anymore, God, because we've done such horrible things. But then we want to receive everything. Like a Santa Claus God, I heard somebody say last week or somewhere on Sabbath school or something. And then we're called to rest, and that's before the death rest. We're called to rest in him. So we need to remember God now, because after we do fall asleep in him, there's life to be continued. If we believe in eternal life. So let's look at 1 Kings 3:5 and look at how God shows us how we can get from him whatever we need to live by. 1 Kings 3:5, and this is Solomon. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Ask. So that's how we get things from him. Next verse. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. And here I referenced evil. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Solomon asked for understanding in his heart, so he can make right judgments. Did I ask God for that? We'll find out. And in the next verse, God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and I'm going to paraphrase from now on, and you have not asked for yourself long life, you have not asked for riches for yourself, you have not asked for me to snuff out your enemies. But you have asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment. So he's asking to be a servant of God for your people. Behold, I have done according to thy words, though I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. So God gave him exactly what he asked for, because it was supposed to honor God back. That's what it was for. Neither after thee, well, so that there was none like thee before thee, and neither after thee shall there be any arise like thee. And verse 13, I love it. And God said, I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did, then I will lengthen thy days. And I know a lot of people bark at that one because David committed adultery. But David's heart was repentant. And he said, create in me, O God, a right spirit. Create in me a new heart, O God. Solomon, the son of David, and Bathsheba did not repent like that. He repented when he got to the very end and he realized that he was in apostasy. According to Sister White's works in Prophets and Kings, I was glad to know that he repented, because I was concerned there for a minute after what he was doing. So God has called us all into birth. He called us to come to him. He has called us to serve him. He has called us to repent of our shortcomings. He's called us, if we left him, to return to him. He's called us to receive from him. He's called us to rest in him. He's done all of that. Now I get to talk about the young man there. You see that man right there? That's my young man. Because now I get to tell you some of the stuff that I did to get him here. Because I was sexually violated as a child, and my pelvic area was destroyed. By the time I was 17 or 18, I went to have a pap smear because I was going off to college, coming here to FAMU, getting ready to come here to FAMU to go to college. And they tested everything, and the doctors were like, what in the world? What in the world? You will never conceive. I said, what? I didn't want any children at that point, but I was like, wait a minute. That just doesn't sound right. A girl is supposed to be able to carry a baby one day. So, of course, that was sad news. I came on down to FAMU to go to college, and I was just messed up. I was messed up in my head. I didn't have a walk with God like I should have. I didn't understand that. But I knew that there was a God because I went to church all the time. I was trying to get to know who he was. So here I was, I'm going through all kind of mess, and I was messed up. I could tell you a few things in secret, but I can't tell you out here too much. But there was a point that I came that I wanted to commit suicide, and I was 18 years old over there in Shackelford Hall. But God, hallelujah, woke me up. So I got a chance to come and tell this story, and I eventually, right here in Tallahassee, joined a Pentecostal church. And we passed by this church every Saturday going to the mall. And I never came here. And every time we would say, you know what, we need to go see what they're doing over there on Saturday. Now that was 40 years ago and some change. And I never came because God wasn't ready for me yet. I had to get a whole lot of more learning about the power of the Holy Ghost. So he put me with the Pentecostals because I think they believe in that. I praise God for the experience. So while I was trying to commit suicide, eventually a young lady invited me to church. And I said, oh, I get to go to church again? So I go to church. And while I'm there, the guys are singing and preaching about just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. I was saying, he's talking to me. And I received it. And I cried out to God and asked him to save me. Now, I'm just telling you what I did. He wasn't here yet, so you know I went away from God. You know that. Because he wasn't here yet. because I couldn't have children. Remember that? Okay. So I repented. And I walked with God. And then I said, okay, God, I'm going to test you. They told me I can't conceive. I say, you created this body. You can do it. You can do it. And I found his papa, a good suitor, good man. We're not together, but he is definitely a good man. I don't have any hard feelings against him. He's a good man. So I found me a suitor, and I did the Abraham and Sarah thing. I helped God out because I picked the suitor. I didn't wait for God. I picked the suitor, and we did what we needed to do, and I conceived. But the kicker to that is that Mom had children born, grandchildren born in every month except July and September. And I got a call from my sister telling me that her daughter was going to be born in July. I said, God, you have September. Hallelujah. You have September. I said, you promised me a son? Born in September, God, is my request. And he did it. And I couldn't have any more children. But that's okay. God showed me who he was. Because I know the devil cannot create life, so I know he didn't come from the devil. I know he came from my God. And I thank God for him. Couldn't have any more children after that. But my son became very important in my life as far as studying the Word of God. Because I've asked for him, now I have to bring him back to God as a dedication. Yes? So we open the Word and start studying with him and teaching him of God's ways. Because I have received a man of the Lord. So we have to do our part. So in that, there was a concern that my son ran into when his dad and I were separated. And now you can put that picture up, please. But that's the man I raised right there. I was raising a man, not a child. You see that man right there? Next one. But that man, go ahead to the next slide, please. That man had some turmoil in his life. He didn't see us arguing or anything like that. But I don't know what happened when we split. I don't know what that did to my son. But I found this picture and I cried for days. Because my son didn't show me this. I found it. And as I was examining the picture, I was like, okay, God, at least there's a cross in the middle. So there's a God in there somewhere. So we got to figure out where we went wrong. And so I went and talked to my son and I asked him, is there something I did to make you not want to have a relationship with Jesus? He says, oh, no, Ma. I couldn't talk for his dad. I can only speak for me. He said, no, Ma, I need to know God for myself. I said, okay, that's a relief. Praise his holy name. But one day when I was working at school, I heard the Spirit of God say to me, and I believe in the speaking of the Holy Spirit. I believe in him. And he said to me, and I worked 1 mile from home as a classroom teacher, he said, go home. I said, okay, I usually go home after school, you know, but sometimes you go to Publix. Go home. I drove home, opened the garage door. Usually my son will meet me at the garage door. I started praying, God, I don't know what I'm about to find, but I know I need your power to face it. So I go to the door, I open it, the house is dark, no Roderick. I said, God, I don't know what I'm about to run into, but I need your power. So I open his door, and he's sitting there in complete darkness. And I said, son, whatever it is, God does not want you to do it. Because that was his day that he had planned he was going to commit suicide. But I'm telling you about the power of God. So I prayed with him, we cried, we snotted, and we went off to get some help. Because I'm telling you, that demon is out there because he's lost several of his friends to suicide. And I'm saying we need to remember God now. Because things are happening in this world that they're not going to get better. They're going to get worse. And we're going to need a Savior. So right now, I'm pleading that you will go through this life. Live it to the fullest, just like Solomon said. Live it. But remember that we're going to be judged by the things that we choose to do. Go on to the next one. Live life again, because I'm back at that chart. I'm about to wrap it up. Live life. We're going to look at that one last time. Where are you on this spectrum? Where are you? Where am I? Right now, I'm speaking before you, but all the while, I'm repenting of some thoughts that could be running through my head. So we move back and forth on this continuum. But stay in God. Stay with Him. And don't let anybody despise you for your walk with Him. Don't let anybody make you think, oh, this is some new thing under the sun. Solomon said, there is no new thing under the sun. What has been done is going on. It's all the same. New names, same game. So trust God and know that vanity is out there, vexation is out there, but so is God. Choose God today. And unless the heart is right with God, which we have to allow Him to fix like David did, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Because we won't know how to think. We won't know how to do anything to please the Lord unless we have a new heart. And after that new birth happens, He has to transform our minds so that our thinking can be like His. Otherwise, we're going to stay in the rat race and the hamster wheel of sin. And there's a way out. He has already died for that. And no one can save us outside of Jesus and Him crucified. No one. Nothing. No money. Nothing. So let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And when He calls you to come, please come. Because the Lord has said in His word in John 18:37, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And if you hear His voice today, don't harden your heart. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And remember God now. Repent of your sins, and if you've backslid, He will receive you back as His own. He is gracious in His mercy. He is ever extending His loving kindness and compassion toward us. Because only He can do that. And if you ask, you will receive Him. If you say, come into my heart today, show me your divine way, He will do it. Either the word of God is true, or it's a lie. I believe the truth. And if you've struggled long enough with sin, come unto me, He says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The problem is, we're not tired of our sin yet. We haven't wrestled with it enough until blood has come to us. But before we go to that last rest, we're going to have to let go of the sin. That's for all of us. Those who speak the word of God, those who read the word of God, those who know it and can quote it, we all have to come away and tear ourselves away from our sins. There remaineth a rest for God's people before we die. Rest in Him. And if those of our friends and family have already gone, remember, He will bring them again if they fell asleep in Him, and we will see them again. I pray to see my mama. I pray that was enough of her to say, I know Him, and I talk to Him every day. Our last scripture reading, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. And this is the conclusion of the whole matter. We need to fear God, honor Him, remember Him, and keep His commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He loves us enough to remind us of His power. May we remember Him today. Father, we thank You again for hearing us, for being here with us in the midst of Your service. Because we know that our sins have reached the gates of heaven. We know that You want us to confess them, repent, turn away, and return unto You. Today, God, I declare, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that Your people are willing to walk in Your ways. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.